Taking aim at our take, make, and waste approach to living, Zero Waste Living is about creating a more circular approach to the way resources are utilized on our planet. What does that look like in our community here in Tucson, Arizona? Hello, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. And I ask you to please join me in welcoming my dear friend and return guest, Christina Paulsgrove, who is the Public Information Officer, City of Tucson, Department of Environmental and General Services. And I do introduce her at times as the Wikipedia of all things waste in Tucson, because there's never been a question I've asked her that she hasn't been able to answer. And she's here today to talk with us about one of her favorite subjects, which is great, waste. It's actually becoming an obsession of mine as well. So I hope we're all ready to learn, have some fun, and hopefully get all of you inspired to act. I'm very inspired these days about zero waste and the whole waste conversation. So let's start out with the much used, and I don't believe completely generally understood, phrase zero waste. Explain that to us.
And, you know, I think it's complicated. We all hear zero waste and we think that's never going to happen. And that's absolutely correct. We're never going to get there.
Right, right.
But there's an International Zero Waste Alliance. And generally what's accepted is if you can get to 85 to 90% waste diversion, then that is considered zero waste.
So even like, and it starts with the consumer.
Absolutely.
Who are basically the genesis of all waste. And it's funny when I think about the way I live my life and some of the tougher things when you say 85%, we've done a lot. But one of the things, I shouldn't say this on the air, it's like Q-tips. They are a single-use item. They're intense manufacturing. And my daughter, one of them, has these little swatches of cloth, and she just dabs a little bit of, you know, like a makeup remover on them, and she rewashes them. So that's a step I need to take, because I use Q-tips for makeup removal, for my eye makeup, and that's all. But it's really a high-use item. So if I just stopped doing that, I would cut down on my waste, not significantly enough, but if, you know, 10,000 of us did it, then it becomes significant. Okay, so that's the idea of zero waste. We all know, I hope everybody understands, that we have an overconsumption challenge in our country. The cause of all of this is overconsumption, and we don't need to address that for the purposes of this show, but can you kind of paint a picture for us about waste in Tucson, Arizona? I thought instead of just jumping into the whole concept of zero waste, how big a problem is it? How is it curated? Are we okay? You know what I mean? It's like, tell the Tucson listeners, where are we with waste?
So the EPA keeps track of this and has for years, and I've worked in the department for 17 now, and back then when I looked, it said that every American generates about 4.6 pounds of waste every day.
A day?
Yes.
Almost 5 pounds.
Right. And in the 17 years I've worked here and we've been talking about reduce, you know, your consumption, it hasn't gone down.
That's really sad.
So
it's really sad. So is that, like, if I was measuring it, I don't want to get into any gross details, but is that, how would I measure if I do that? Would it be if I consume plastic bottles, which I don't, my drink, my kombucha?
It'd be, you know, your food and
the food waste part.
Right.
And toilet paper, tissue paper, paper towels.
Plastic.
Okay. Yeah. So we've done a lot, and this is to the consumer listening out there. You know, we have switched to reusable containers for storing our leftovers, which really makes a difference. No baggies. We used to put everything in baggies and then just throw them out. Didn't have to wash them. I was looking for a baggie the other day because I needed to put something in it. We don't have any small baggies, which is good. So all of those things have changed in our family. But I think about this, like my Trilogy bottle, it probably weighs a pound. I'm, of course, going to weigh it. There's no way that I found around it. But it's like really looking at the big picture of what you do as a consumer.
And just the idea that in our homes, a lot of, and it's convenience, right? You know?
Totally. Totally.
Paper plates, paper towels. You know, I mean,
plastic forks, plastic spoons. When I go to somebody's house and they're using those, and I went to a home recently and they had two kids and there were two kids visiting and I was there, my friend was there, and her daughter was there. So it was like seven or eight people, can't count that fast, using paper plates. And this woman was very, very conscientious about the kind of toothpaste her kids use and the kind of soap they used and the shampoo they used. And I thought, whoa, and I did zip it. I didn't have the kind of relationship where I could say to her, what are you doing using paper plates in your home? I use them sometimes, mostly on a picnic, but now we have a picnic basket with everything reusable. So there's a lot of that to go down the rabbit hole.
I use them at home if I'm going to eat something that's not going to be really greasy or with a lot of sauce or anything. So it's almost like a clean thing, and then I can put it in the recycle bin.
Got it. So at least that consciousness of use it, but know that you're not going to create something for the landfill. Okay, so that's you and what you know, and it's a huge problem. Just think about everything we throw in the garbage. When it comes to zero waste and the city's leadership, how is it being addressed by the city in terms of the climate action plan? And in your answer, let's weave in, and I have more questions about it. Why is waste an issue when you're talking about climate change, climate action? So tell us about what the city's go forward plan is.
So last year, September 20th of 2020, the mayor and council adopted the climate emergency
action plan.
They declared a climate emergency and set the goal of carbon neutral by 2030, 50% waste aversion by 2030, and zero waste by 2050.
I'll be 100, but I hope I'm still there. Wow.
Very ambitious goals. I believe there are things that we can work toward, certainly. And so our department has been charged with developing a zero waste plan for the community. And this is in conjunction with the city developing a climate action plan that will address numerous areas: renewable energies, water conservation. Of course, waste is part of that. And
transportation.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you think about it, the city doesn't have any control over the consumer.
No.
Unless there are fines and some type of consequences. So their role would be one of leadership and inspiration and us working together on initiatives. I'm barely kidding. To raise the consciousness. Because what I want to get to is, people have to use their big brains and think a little bit deeper about it. And that's not an insult. It's an invitation. Because let's take a plastic bottle. Tell us why that has an impact on the environment. One single-use plastic bottle. What all it takes from the ground to the landfill, if we're lucky.
Okay, well, I mean, it's made from petroleum. So it's oil.
A disgusting petroleum byproduct, yeah.
Extracted, and you're going to, you know, it's very valuable right now, and you're going to use it once and throw it away. So there's that, just the extraction. It can be made. So if it's made from a recycled bottle or even not made, you're not extracting non-renewable resources. The energy and the water that it takes to create that product, and all of those are going to impact our environment, you know, the water that's used, the energy that's consumed. So,
and then they have to
things.
Be packaged in something to be shipped, transported. Most people don't have a water bottle manufacturing plant in their backyard. So there's, when I got into this whole Mrs. Green's World thing, I didn't think about that. I mean, we were talking about this at a training we did yesterday with one of our partners downtown called Highwire. And they're very interested in sustainability and green, but you don't stop and think that it's the extraction, energy use, the manufacturing, lots of energy use, water use, not
shipping
good.
It from the
shipping
manufacturer
it
to everywhere in the country.
Intensive, because it's water. So that uses oil, or gas or electricity, however your vehicle is being powered, highly unlikely that it's an electric vehicle. Even that has a footprint. It's not, there's nothing free when it comes to transportation. And then the last part is the recycling. And you can weigh in on that. How much of that plastic, of those plastic bottles out there actually get recycled in a city the size of Tucson?
Nationally, it's only about 25% of those that are used.
So people can't even take the trouble. It's so easy in our house. We have a glass bin. We have a paper, aluminum, tin, all of that that goes in the regular recycling. And it's right next to our garbage can. It doesn't even require an extra single step. It's just a habit. And then it goes out to the recycling. And most cities have recycling. I don't know of any that don't. Shame on them.
Most metro cities
have it. And I mean, in a place like Taos, New Mexico, for example, they have a recycling center. And you would not believe how many people are aware. You know, you look at the demographic there, and it's, you know, a lot of hippies and a lot of, it's a very mixed community, but a lot of consciousness. And I don't know what their recycle rate is, but my two daughters go to extreme lengths. They even have someone that they pay to take their glass to Albuquerque. So it's become worthy, you know, some entrepreneurial, some young person decided this is worth it. So it's a when I say big brain, it requires stopping, pressing pause, and thinking about where did this come from? How was it made? How did it get here? And what am I going to do with it? So it's a big deal.
And, you know, you mentioned the water bottles, and I shared yesterday the story about the man that when we went to every other week recycling, he called me and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I buy three cases of water bottles every week from Costco. That's 36 bottles, three times that.
One family.
And you can't, in my position, I can't say, well, you know, it'd be better for you to just buy them reusable water bottles.
And a lot less expensive.
Yes.
It's a budget item if you're buying that many. And let's go. I'm a zealot about this. I'm getting to use the word zealot, but you can help your kids because there are health consequences for using plastic bottles, which I think are irrefutable. That's my belief. It's irrefutable how the leaching of the petroleum into whatever you're drinking, even if you just drink it right out of the bottle, some of it leaches because it could have been hot in the truck that it was coming in or wherever. So there are health concerns, there's environmental concerns, there's a lot, and economic concerns. When people say going green is more expensive, that is patently untrue. It's about how you choose to spend your money. Because I bought reusable bottles about, I don't know, my Swell bottles are 5 years old. One purchase. And someone said, oh yeah, but it was $40. And I said, how long would it take you to buy cases of water to make up $40? I mean, I've paid for that bottle 10 times over. So it's a consciousness, and I don't want to be down on people. I want this show to be an inspirational, upbeat, to have them look around their house and see what single thing could I eliminate that would help contribute to the solution.
And, you know, honestly, I mean, I want to give kudos to Tucson Water because the quality of the water that we have in our taps is very good. It meets a higher standard.
Yeah. And we have a filter on our refrigerator. Most people do. I mean, I know that I shouldn't say that because a lot of people don't. And that's my privilege that I catch myself on. But I've always had a refrigerator for the past whatever years that had a filter on it, and you get it at the refrigerator. And I know that a lot of people don't have that, but regardless, you can drink water out of the tap. So, mm-hmm. And there are things that you can do that are inexpensive. So I'm excited because I would like to spend a little time talking about what we're doing 2 days from when this broadcast is aired. How long have you and I been working on it? And what inspires me about it, there are so many things, the cooperation, the excitement, what our hopes and dreams are for it, because it's taken a lot of work. We're the behind-the-scenes people and a lot of really good partnerships with everybody doing something. So tell us about the first ever Tucson Zero Waste event coming up on April 16th, a week before Earth Day.
So we are kicking off Earth Day with a Zero Waste Collection event, and we have partnered the City of Tucson, Mrs. Green, Pima County, Goodwill of Southern Arizona, the Tucson Police Department, Recyco, Evolve Job Training Program,
Beacon
Group,
Chapman is going
Chapman
to help
Auto,
Chapman Automotive
TEP.
Group, TEP.
And, you know, whether it's collecting materials that are going to be reused or repurposed or recycled properly, that's what we're going to be collecting. So we're asking people to open up your closets and your cabinets and look for those things that would, you know, that these partners will collect. So we're going to have document shredding, which is always popular.
Under the strictest of protocols, because that's an issue. Beacon is certified shredder.
And the thing about shredding is a lot of people will put them in their recycle bin because they have home document shredders. Those bags get torn open and we will still take it. But I'm not ever going to say it's all going to get recycled because it's going to fly.
Because you never lie.
Right.
Okay.
But, you know, but if you want to bring your shredded documents to this, you can. And it's absolutely going to be shredded or recycled. And if you bring your documents for shredding, they will be secure, which is very important these days. And we're going to have TPD there collecting expired medications or
old
medications
pill bottles,
that
right?
You're not going to use anymore. And that has to be done under the supervision of law enforcement. So
right.
We have them
and
on
Cetto
board.
And Cetto is going to take the bottles, right? The little...
Cetto is going to be there. They're going to be taking prescription bottles and those all get reused. Goodwill is going to be taking textiles, clothing, home textiles, sheets, towels, whatever, small appliances, small home goods, small pieces of furniture, Bookmans. We didn't mention Bookmans.
Bookmans. Oh my gosh, Sean will be so mad at me. Yes. Bookmans, the biggest book recycler in Tucson and Phoenix and Flagstaff.
They're going to be there so you can bring your books and those that they can't use will be donated to Literacy Connects and Friends of the Tucson Public Library. And we're going to actually be collecting some of the things that people aren't aware of. If you have old eyeglasses, and I probably have about 4 pair, and American flags that are no longer able to...
If they're tattered and worn.
Right. There are protocols for doing away with those American flags, and the American Legion will take them and make sure that they're treated properly. And the Lions Club is collecting eyeglasses, and they do this everywhere. But we're doing this event because these are opportunities that are available to people in the community all the time, but they don't know about it.
And it's single stop. Load up your car. And the other thing is e-waste. You know, it's going to be, it was Rise Equipment Recycling, which I am a dedicated fan of. And one of the things that our family, the Murphy Darling family, will be contributing the most of is probably 2 boxes of what was this cord for? What phone did we have that was this? What charger was this for? And the thing is, I just want to emphasize, we are going to deplete our natural resources, maybe even in my lifetime. So you have to extract things from the ground to put trace minerals in all those things I mentioned. So recycling them is critical to the continued survival of the things that we want to use that in most cases make our life easier. Like, I'm happy that I have an app for this and an app for that. I admit it, it's convenient. I just have to get the QR code, which I thought was going to die when they started. I thought this is never going to take off. It waned and now it's waxing. People are using QR codes all over the place, like we did for the quiz we did the other day. That was so clever, where you can just have people use their phones. Every single person at our training had a smartphone and took the quiz, and it was fun. So cords, I think that's important. And knowing that Rise, or Evolve, since it has been, now it's part of a bigger conglomerate, they take everything apart. And they sell the pieces of copper and they sell the pieces of plastic. So it's not, I hate it when people say, oh, that's, you know, that doesn't really even get recycled anyway. Because every time someone said that to me in the beginning, I went there. I went to the MRF to see what happened. I went with you to the landfill more than one time. I went on tours. So yes, in fact, there are really responsible, committed people making sure it lands up where it's supposed to.
And they're training people for jobs.
Yes.
Right? You know?
Rise, yes, they are, because now
and
it's
Beacon
called
Group.
Yes, both of them. They use the money and Goodwill.
Goodwill, yeah.
So they're all turning that money into jobs for people, for re-entry, for skills and enhancement, for computers. You know, it's hard when I'm really checking myself a lot on what I call privilege. not being a super wealthy person at all, but I have a computer. And so there's no barrier to employment for me or anyone in my family. And when you think about it today, do you know anybody where you could drop in an application other than fast food? And mostly they're online as well. So everything is going to the web. So it's a great divide in these programs, Goodwill, Beacon, and Cope. It's called Evolve. I'll get it right. It was three names. So now it's Evolve. Evolve Work Relearning Center or something like that.
But it's affiliated with Cope Community Services.
Yes, Cope Community Services, which is a behavioral health organization. So it's really important that people, I hope this podcast gets played far and wide. And the other thing I think we should mention is we will not be taking household hazardous waste. And that's a good news story. Why?
Household hazardous waste are those things we use in our home to clean, to keep pests away, that, you know, anything that's toxic or flammable or corrosive, any of those, you know, bad words. They can be harmful to the environment and they can be harmful to people and pets if they get exposed. And so, but a lot of us, we buy these things, we don't use them all up. And we leave them in the garage or the shed because we don't know what to do with them. So our household hazardous waste program, we take all that. 98% of what we collect is either recycled or reused. And if absolutely will be disposed of properly if it can't be.
And from what you've told me, I haven't gone for years. I haven't, because I'm that person that we moved some of that stuff from our garage to the house
we're
in now.
Well, we probably don't use as much.
Right. We don't. We really don't. When I see someone out in the neighborhood and they're spraying with Roundup, that's when I know I'm becoming a zealot. Like, and I, in a good way, like the world needs more climate zealots. That's my feeling, because I want to push it farther so that people move a little bit farther. But I want to say to them, stop. Do you understand? That can hurt you. It can hurt the birds. It can hurt your pets. It can hurt your children. It's a toxic poison. It's an endocrine disruptor. I have not done that yet. So if you get a collect call from Pima County, you know, Sheriff's Department, you know I'm in the slammer because I did accost someone for spraying Roundup. Roundup Ready? No, Roundup is really, really, really bad. And when I learned about that, because did we use Roundup in my earlier years? Oh, you bet. We had, and out there spraying those weeds. Well, pick them, or there's natural things to kill them, which are, our friend has them. He has a landscaping company, and there are things that you can use that are just as effective that won't hurt your pet, the birds, the rabbits, the squirrels, any of that stuff. Just being mindful. So did we miss any of the rock stars that are coming? It's been a volunteer group of people. Many of the people on the committee are volunteers, others of us representing companies not, but just making the calls, finding the event, getting the social media, getting the website up, which we have, and it's TucsonZeroWaste.com. Matt would kill me, TucsonZeroWaste.com. It says everything you want to know, but it's been, for me, not something I dread, but something I love. We're going to have volunteers from Tucson Electric Power Company who are always looking for ways to engage other than just writing checks in the community. There, people care about giving back. So I think it's going to be fun. And I guess what I'd love to do is ask all the committee members, what do you think the weirdest thing we're going to get? You'd probably have to be disqualified because you know too much about what happens in recycling bins.
Honestly, I can't even imagine, because people, you know, I just always remember our friend Darren from Freecycle.
Right.
Telling us about the pond water.
Oh my gosh. It's like, yes, you should quickly tell that story.
So Darren Beal here in Tucson started Freecycle, which is
a national, big time,
group where people can post things that they no longer need or want. And almost every time somebody wants it, needs it. And somebody had posted pond water, and a science teacher wanted it because she needed it for her class. So
there's something for everyone. And when I did Freecycle, which I've done, it blows my mind. It really blows my mind. My daughter, Katie, is now part of a group in Tucson that's very geographic specific, where people will ask for something if you have it. And we had someone ask the other day if you have an extra garden hose, because they don't. So we had it sitting in our backyard. We have plenty of garden hoses. And you can also say what you have. if there's nobody asking for it, and you literally put it out in the, we put it out in the front, and the guy came and picked up our hose. So there, I guess my point in that is, if you care, there's a way to be part of a much more circular waste stream than just throwing it in the trash.
Absolutely.
So we'll be probably reporting back on another show we might do about what we got that was surprising. No tires, people. No mattresses, people. No televisions, people. So those are not things we're.
So just we, can take. We didn't mention it's April 16th from 9 to 1. It's at 4004 South Park Avenue, which is just south of the intersection of Park and Ajo.
And we did that purposely because we want to see if we can do the traffic flow. It's a total drop-off event. You don't have to go out of your car and be searching for where everything is and finding it. That's what the volunteers are going to be for. We're having a training next week so that they're ready. And we have probably more volunteers than we need, but hopefully not. We're hoping that we blow it out of the park. We really are. Every organization that's involved is passionately committed, and we'd like to see the first one be a huge success. You and I and Jamie drove to Phoenix in the wee hours of the morning, 5 a.m., thank you very much. Did we start at 4:30 or 5?
5.
5, and drove to Tempe to see their zero waste event, and it blew me away. The efficiency, the partners that were playing in the sandbox with them, the signage, and we learned from them. I thought it was great. But I want to repeat TucsonZeroWaste.com because you might be listening to your podcast while you're shaving or in the shower, hopefully not, or driving. I listen to podcasts when I drive. So TucsonZeroWaste.com is where you can find all these details. April 16th, 9 to 1, 4004 South Park. And just tell them Mrs. Green and Christina sent you because we want to get all those brownie points. Is there anything we missed? Because I think we got it.
I don't think so. I think we've, you know, just okay. Want to make sure that we let people know what they can bring and just give them enough time to sort through stuff.
Right. And as always, I thank you for your friendship, your partnership, the fun we have when we're always together, and feeling like because of our partnership, we make a bigger difference. I think it's a case of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
You know, that's been one of the best parts about this project because you and I have always worked well together, but bringing in all the community partners, because that is what it's about.
It's what it's about. It's what it's about. I want to plug Brené Brown's new book, which I just got. So I'm, of course, now an expert on it, tongue in cheek, but Atlas of the Heart. And what she says in that book, and I've just read enough on the brief summary that I read, is we have to figure out better ways to connect as communities. I mean, and when it comes to the climate change conversation, it's going to be essential. Because if I don't have water and my neighbor does, I really hope I was nice to that neighbor and that I know that neighbor. And that's, we've got to become more connected and more mindful and more aware of our surroundings and our planet and make a difference. But it sure is fun working with you. I mean, I told you this, I went to lunch with Matt Flores from Goodwill about 2 weeks ago, and I put a post up on Facebook. We were at a locally owned restaurant, of course, Flores Market. And I said, Matt, is this work? And he said, kinda, I guess, but that's what happens when you love what you do, and I know you do, and I do, and we have a lot of fun together. So thanks for being a part of my world.
Thank you for having me.
And Dave, thank you for your never-ending support to our sound quality. I'm never, ever, ever reluctant to thank our sound engineer, not to mention, I should mention Kelly King every time, who does the write-ups and the arranging and all of those many, many pieces behind the scenes so that the talent can show up and feel prepared. So shout out to you, Kelly King. I hope this puts a big, big, big smile on your face when you're doing the show notes, which, by the way, I have not ever done, I don't think. Okay, thanks, Christina. Thanks, Dave. Everybody, if you're in Tucson, Pima County, Green Valley, it doesn't matter. Get into your garages and your closet. Spring has sprung, and bring us your waste. Thanks.